Welcome back, Lister sisters and Lister listeners. This is another episode of Top Hack Topics. I am your co-host, Jen Snyder, with
Kristen Hughes.
And we are going to start in here with the second episode of Gentleman Jack.
I just went there to study anatomy. First off, we just want to remind everyone, like we want to do at the beginning of every episode, to please email us. Our email address is tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com. We want to hear all of your feedback, hear about some of the things that you want to hear from us. And most importantly, we want everybody to nominate a Gentleman Jack in your own lives. That we can read through all the stories and all the nominations and choose one every week to read aloud on air. And we want to send that special honoree a little commemorative certificate to let them know that they've been recognized.
So please send those in, you guys. And we're going to go ahead and just break right into this episode because we're pretty excited. We've been excited all week to do this.
All week.
Yeah. Kristen's been jumping out of her skin. We're ready to roll. She's got some comments for you guys. So let's get started. We're going to go ahead and jump right into the episode. We have just finished the last time on Gentleman Jack. And here we go. The HBO static drone.
Is there not something about that HBO thing that just makes you know that whatever's coming on is awesome?
I love that it's upbeat, curious music. That's how we're starting into this episode.
Jaunty music, to be exact.
All right.
Here's our hero coming to see her lady. If anybody knows exactly what was on that pamphlet that Miss Walker just hid, write in and let us know, inquiring minds.
That smile, I love it. It's such a big grin. Yeah, I was just passing by. Oh, were you? You were just passing by?
Casual.
Yeah.
Super casual.
As I am wont to do, just walk by your house 6-7 miles away, however far it was.
Because I can walk anywhere in 25 minutes.
Again, the sets, whoever does the sets for this, just how? Wow.
Every time we watch this, my partner has comments about how beautiful all of the interior decorating is. I fully believe she would have our house transformed into this exact design if she could.
No. I would never come over to you guys' house.
So, so here goes Miss Lister and Miss Walker. And Miss Walker's just doing a little reminiscing because she's clearly had Ann Lister on her mind for a number of years. And, of course, Ann Lister is just playing it super cool like she doesn't remember. We all know she remembers everything.
How animated you looked.
So animated.
So smooth.
So smooth.
Yeah, really. I don't remember you being silly and foolish.
And
all.
Such an emotion,
animated.
And such an emotionless word. It's not telling her whether she felt positively or negatively about it.
Some heavy eye contact here. And we're into the intro.
Jaunty music, once again.
With the whalebone sword.
It just never gets old.
I feel like she should have pulled that out when that guy was beating her, and she should have beat that. Oh, wait.
You know what?
Too far
into the series. If anybody... Spoiler alert to anybody who is actually listening to the podcast as you watch the episode.
Got to edit that out, I think.
But... You know, let's just give another nod to Saran Jones' hands for the usual. I'd like for her hands to win an Emmy.
I love that this is like the courting ritual back in the day. You actually had to sit in somebody's house and talk to them to get them to like you instead of sending them a text.
The good old days.
Yeah, right.
I think some of us are still under the impression that that's not dead. But I think we may be few and far between.
Oh, that's why I'm still single, because no one's into that anymore. No one's into conversations. People are into texts. And
yeah, I'm extremely lucky that I found a diamond in the rough.
I love that she quickly gets rid of the pamphlet. She's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Let's not.
However, I did dissect a baby. Don't worry, it was dead.
Nothing gets the ladies hotter than when you start talking about that time. You dissected a baby in Paris. Remember that?
I mean, I just want to know how one can speak so casually and not sound like an absolute donkey. When I try to be that casual, I sound like I'm trying too hard to be cool, not Ann Lister.
I like how she says, she casually drops that she was, of course, being the wrong sex. What a weird way to put that.
She uses that throughout the show, that little psychology trick there where whatever it is she wants her to think about, she'll say the word or something related to it, which is why so early into their courting, she says sex, but in a different figure of speech, a different connotation, just to make her think about it. It's pretty brilliant.
And I also like this explanation about life and how we're all just like lump, how our brains are just lumps that tell us everything to do, and how everything, even the smallest animal, is sophisticated. And our brains are so amazing that we have language and love, and that's amazing. And also, what a really great line to use on a woman.
What a great line to use on a woman. And my goodness, how it shows how broad and deep thinking her mind is. I doubt there were very many people, male or female, in this time that were preaching those kinds of empirical truths.
Absolutely. And there's nothing sexier than intelligence. And so she goes ahead and just displays that right. And that's what she uses the entire time. She's smart, she's charming, and that's what's kind of sustained her in this life that she leads, is that people just, once again, they can't help but like her.
And here comes John Booth, what I would consider perhaps the most eligible bachelor on Gentleman Jack.
Oh, really?
I think so. To me, at least. I think he's precious. He's so pure.
He is very pure. I'll give you that.
I can't say much more about who he is as a person because you guys don't know that yet. Who am I kidding? Everybody who's listening to this has watched all these episodes 15 times by now.
Yeah. And so now he's finding out that she's pregnant with the dead groomsman's baby, like you do sometimes. It happens.
As you do.
Yeah. Straight people, am I right? Just always showing up with the dead groomsman's baby.
His first thought is, oh, a young French girl finding herself pregnant out of wedlock. You know who needs a wife?
He says, I'm a kind Christian fellow with a good heart.
I don't speak a lick of French, but we can work that out.
I mean, no one wanted their wife to talk back then anyways.
Oh.
Am I wrong?
I don't think anybody wants their wife to talk back now.
Oh. And here she is, just charming, literally charming the corset and the whalebone off of Miss Walker here.
And she's so absolutely intrigued. They're both so present in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's incredible. It's so real that it's unreal to today's culture.
And I love how she immediately, once she starts talking about the doctor, she tells her, you know, you don't have to go to that doctor. You can do whatever you want. She automatically starts reaffirming her self-worth, which I don't think a lot of people in Ann Walker's life have done this far.
I mean, absolutely not. And it's pretty obvious. I mean, they all think of her as an invalid because she has some anxiety and some mental health issues. But perhaps one of the most respectable things that Ann Lister does with their relationship is give her autonomy and encourage her to speak better and think better of herself.
She does often say that. She's constantly telling her to do that. She's constantly reaffirming her worth and telling her to reaffirm her own worth.
And isn't that just the dream? Don't we all deserve somebody that reminds us to love ourselves?
You have somebody like that.
True.
You got that. All right. Yeah, this whole invalid thing really confused me the first time. Because when I think invalid, I just think someone who is...
can't do for themselves.
Nothing, right?
And really, I wouldn't use that word to describe a human being anyway, unless they were, you know...
You're just really invalid. I mean, because you could say it like that if you want to. It's all in how you say it.
You are completely invalid.
Mm-hmm. And I like this moment, too. You don't look invalid to me.
You look just fine.
Mm-hmm. Don't look. I'm looking at it, girl, and don't look like there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I'll take it as is.
The slowest and smoothest lean in ever. And let's take a minute to talk about that fourth wall break. Every time she bites her lip, I lose a little bit of my sanity.
A little matrimony won't cure. Yeah. She's a little crazy, but I got that. It's a little, not a little marriage won't fix. Child, please.
I've just got to show her that the way that she feels right now is love. I'm wifey.
Yeah. And she's also gay Russian, we might note. Jauntily gay Russian because she's happy this time.
Always gay rushing.
Because she doesn't set up a date for tomorrow. Can I call on you?
I wonder if Ann Lister had an Apple Watch or a Fitbit, how many steps she could get in a day.
Wait, I think somebody did that on the page, and I think it was like she walked like 20 miles a day
I am going to have to go back through our awesome Facebook group.
Yeah, and if you're the listener that did, or I mean, please, I hope you're listening to this, but if you did that, please message us and tell us.
To give you a shout out because, again, inquiring minds.
I love, and people will do that. They'll pose a question on that page, and then everybody just like scatters to the winds of we're gonna find the answer. It's amazing. That page is so much fun.
Everyone is so committed to the friendship and the camaraderie in that group. It's incredible. I swear it's the healthiest social media environment I've ever been in.
Absolutely.
So here we go, talking about Nicole again. She's already weighing out with them that they're trying to screw her over because she's a woman. And she's not pleased about that.
These damn Rossins again, thinking they can do whatever they want.
And everybody obviously hates them because I'll be damned, everybody that has had the opportunity to talk to her about this subject has let her know, oh, everyone knows that they're stealing your coals.
Coals.
I mean, that their words, not mine.
Yeah, and I love how she's just always looking so commanding. She's sitting down, making them stand up and address her. She's the boss.
She has the greatest body language.
Yeah.
It's just so interpretive.
I love when she talks with her hands, when she's broadly gesturing. I think we all love when she talks with her hands. Let's be real.
Much like she felt about Ann Walker, she is quite animated when she speaks passionately.
I also like his character, too. The guy that helps, I'm terrible with the names.
That is helping them with the coal mine?
Yeah, the older guy between the two.
Yeah, the one that runs the coal mines, the actual, like, the overseer or whatever.
Yeah.
He keeps it super real with her. I appreciate that.
And so does the other guy. He's like, I think if you just listen to him, just hold on. I see you're getting heated, but hear him out. This is what he says.
Yeah, I mean, another man in this show that I love was Mr. Washington. He is keeping it real with Anne and treating her as an equal constantly. I know we talked about it a little bit in the last episode, but he is Mr. Tried and True.
And I like how this guy gives her a plan to not only sell it at a fair price, but kind of make them pay for what they've already taken. That's genius. He's on her side automatically. And here we go meeting this asshole for the first time.
Oh, God. So if you guys recall, back in the first episode, we saw a black, shiny carriage coming down the road, caused a big accident, and we said, you don't know who he is, but you know he's bad. I'll give you guys three guesses, but you'll only need one. This is him.
It's too far. We're only in the second episode. All right, so here's the Rossin. Here's one of the coal stealers, the douchiest of the two, as they've kind of stated before, that one of them's easy to deal with and one of them's not. You can only imagine that this is the one that's not. And, yeah, here's a little foreshadowing right here, because he's talking about the rig that he said that he loved, but now he's telling the guy, no, I didn't. So
he's a really bad liar.
Indeed.
Which is ironic, because he does a lot of it. But such is life, I suppose.
Yeah, indeed. And I really don't think, the brother's not that bad. The brother's actually a decent human being, but the Is he the older brother? I can never tell.
I get the feeling that he's the older brother. But yeah, Jeremiah is tolerable. I mean, you can tell he has somewhat of a conscience. He wants to do the right thing, but he's also pretty spineless.
Oh, yeah. He's been mowed down by his older brother his whole life.
And I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for that, so.
But you know what I love? Once again, we've got these characters. Look how evil and stupid and mean that one looks. And look how just downtrodden and kind of like a little dopey dog the other guy. Jeremiah looks like a dopey dog.
Just going right back to the acting and how the intricacies of their performance are probably the best part of this show, honestly.
I mean, spot on and incredible. I love the characters. I love how they portray each one, and they really just embody these people.
And Home Slice is already nervous that Ann Lister is home. He's like, look, like, we might have money and have a monopoly on this coal situation here, but I know that this is not that bitch.
We need her coal. We still need to steal her coal, basically. All right. So here she is going to check on the kid.
How thoughtful of a landlord.
This yours? What is this thing that you've got on the cart here?
It's just this thing that you've made and grown. Mm-hmm.
It's a person.
He's super cute, though.
He is super cute.
I like how he talks to her, too. I still haven't figured out what it is that he says to her.
We're fettering the cart. Because that's what they're doing. That's what his dad is telling him.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. I just didn't understand that in toddler talk.
Yeah, well, in toddler English talk. But, I mean, people probably have a hard time understanding our country-ass accents. So
I want to remind everyone, before we get inside this house, that the last time we saw this little boy, when he was visited by Thomas Sowden and given the toy soldier, he had not spoken. And up to this point, to our knowledge, he has not spoken since the accident. They're treating her like she's royalty as she is rolled up in the house.
Just rolled up in the house.
I mean,
we up in here having to have some little gruel or some meat or whatever we eating in the little bowl. I don't know.
No matter where she goes, she makes an entrance. Everyone's always in a tizzy.
And immediately she's doing the doctor thing.
Let me just go ahead and do my own medical check on this child.
Yeah. Just to dissected a baby, you know.
He was dead, of course.
Of course. She didn't dissect a live baby. Come on, she's not a monster.
I mean, she's just being so forceful with him. And I just want to know, like, what kind of commanding presence one must have to just handle a child like that.
She's the landlord.
He doesn't know her from Adam. She's trying to figure out if anybody saw anything with the accident. She is really torn up about this accident thing, even though it's kind of, you know, a backstory out of all the plot. Oh, here we go. Are you a man? The little boy asks.
I have been asked that question so many times, but especially by children. They are always confused by, I don't want to say male presenting, but a more masculine
gender presentation
on a woman. It's the short hair for sure. That always confuses little. But I love that she handles it like she handles it, because it sucks when that people ask you that.
I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I'm a lady.
Very gay. Very ladylike. And even then, someone mistook me for a...
I'm a lady woman. I think the lady woman is its own viral hashtag on Twitter right now.
I'm a lady. A woman. I'm a lady woman. Yeah, but that feeling of being dressed up like a woman, and like people always want you to do, and someone still asking you if you're a man, I have totally been there. It's bullshit. Just dress how you want, because they're going to ask you if you're a man anyways. Doesn't matter.
We're going to learn something right now about Anne's past. So I like that they added in here that she taught her brother, who was in the military, how to shoot straight. Historical fact is that she was an incredible and renowned shot. So it's pretty cool that 200 years ago, Ann Lister taught her infantryman brother to shoot straight. But he did teach her to fight with a sword, which I also find to be pure sex, much like her hands.
I want to see that.
Maybe next season we'll see a duel and it'll involve a sword.
I can't think of any reason there would be a need for that, but a girl can dream. Yeah.
Sounds like a great fanfic opportunity. Whoever wants to take that on, let me know.
All right, chin up. I'm out. Give me my hat. I got to roll. Got places to walk.
Gay rushing through an English meadow.
I got to go holler at my boo. Oh, rubbing that glass with a finger again. Eating dinner with the fam.
Everyone annoys her. She's just disgusted that these are her people. Marion just blew her own soup into her own face and just looked at the camera to tell us, look at this dumbass.
In case I might have an opinion. So yes, yeah, I'm just going to tell you what I wanted to do. I just wanted to hear you say okay.
I just wanted to share this with you. She's telling them all about the improvement she wants to do to the hall.
Because it will look elegant, Miriam, you dumb bitch.
A chaumier? Oh, you mean a shed? Anne did not like that. No, she's like, bitch, I will cut you.
I will thank you to respect my she chaumier, okay? It is not a she shed, it's a she chaumier. And I have very special plans for my chaumier.
I really want the new or the Geico commercial about the she shed to redo. I want them to redo a Gentleman Jack commercial.
Sherry, somebody done shut down my she chaumier. Sorry, I was just trying to get with the shishes.
I mean, that's exactly how they should redo it. But it should be somebody dressed as Ann Lister.
It is. It's not a farm.
It's not a farm. Perfect. Perfect timing.
Damn, Miriam. Always getting me upset. She says, insulted my chaumier, and now she's talking about my Shibden ancestral home. It has never been a farm.
Ancestral home, lest you all forget.
I cannot help that some chickens and some cows live here.
It has been around since Henry V, I'll have you know.
Oh, and then she breaks the fourth wall. That's the only other character I've seen do it, and I just noticed that she did it for now. Yara Greyjoy, Miriam, whatever. She broke the fourth wall just then.
That was her way of saying, yeah, I know she's talking to you guys. I'm no fool. And how pretentious is she?
English people, or our friends across the pond, right into us, do y'all just get down in gardens? Is that why every English show, there's some major shit going on in the gardens? There's some flirting. There's some, I mean, this is where love happens in England. In the gardens.
In the gardens. Or tell us your garden love stories. Yeah. We want to hear them. So here's Anne giving Miss Walker a little coming to Jesus about gold diggers and how to handle them.
With a well-worded letter, girl.
And you know what? I'm here for that because I am a firm believer. If I really need to tell somebody something, I will write it down.
Actually, you know, my favorite tell-offs are the ones that use no language and they are just simply written. Those are the most scathing ones, in my opinion, where you didn't even say one single bad word. You just read somebody down to the nines, literally.
You know, that's what my mama always told me. She said, you shouldn't have to say one insult or one cuss word to cut somebody down to the bone. Mm.
Sounds like a tough lady. That's, I like it.
Sounds like a well-worded letter to me.
Yeah.
Always flirting. Okay, so Anne, for some reason, she's definitely got some nervous habits. She's holding the letter opener, just twirling it around in her hand, asking a lot of questions. You know, she's very, very good at this. And I'll tell you, my partner once told me that she gets the best information when she meets people by just asking questions. That if you don't say anything about yourself and you only ask people questions, you'll find out everything that you need to know about their character. And that's exactly what Anne Lister does with everybody she comes into contact with.
For sure.
It's just incredible.
I didn't like this moment. This moment was weird to me, how she kind of seems to get jealous about the cousin. Like, that's why she snaps the thing, is because she's...
Yeah, I think that she is a little envious. Like, she's, you know, she's got her eye set, I mean, as lesbians do. I mean, you know, how many do you know that will get a little huffy if they find out somebody they like is even talking to somebody else?
Good call, good call.
Hopeful music.
Yeah. Let me look at that, girl. Let me take care of that for you.
And let me tell you, that is some real care and nurturing right there, to take somebody who you hardly know's hand and be like, let me clean this blood up for you.
And then, you know, real smooth. Would you like to come to Switzerland with me? You know, just, we could do that.
This
sometimes.
Is approximately the third time that I've been here, but I'd like to invite you to go abroad with me for several months. But that's what Ann Lister did in real life. She kept enough relationships and friendships that when she decided she was going to travel, she had a woman companion to take with her.
Well, I mean, apparently that's the way it's done, because everyone seems so weirded out whenever she wanted to go anywhere by herself. So I guess you had to travel, and you had to bring a, which is how convenient for lesbians.
And we will get more into that in later episodes. But what a time to be alive.
Yeah, all right. I have.
Oh, I'm an undercover lesbian. Please give me an excuse to have to travel abroad with another woman.
Well, I don't think that women traveled as much, or anybody really traveled as much as Ann Lister did.
True.
She traveled, which is probably one of the things, well, I mean, not probably, which was one of the things that made her so interesting and unique and interesting to everyone around her, is because she had stories. She had things to talk about. Real things.
More than most men or women, especially Absolutely. In this region. Okay, so we've got John Booth. He's come in. He's talking to Courtingly about how he's thinking about wanting to get with Eugenie. He brought in these flowers. My first thought, guys, please tell me if I'm being crotchety by saying this. He said he got them out the garden, and my first thought was, fool, you took all those flowers out the garden like it was planted there for you to come make a booty call. I don't think so, sir. Get your flowers from the meadow. We got people working in these gardens. It was probably Courtingly. You know what? She was probably pissed off when he came in with those flowers.
So you just think it was an empty gesture all around?
I think it was good intentioned, but thoughtless.
And then she's got some kind of giant eggs, or what is that? What are those things she's holding?
You know, I kept wondering too. I was like, my God, are those ostrich eggs? Do they have those?
Or maybe they're balls of dough or something. Things of cheese. And why does she have them in a hat? She just has a bunch of things in a hat. Look at that. I have just
noticed.
He
brought them in his hat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But what is it, though?
They're eggs, I guess.
Again, inquiring minds, please write in. Let us know.
Hey, girl, I brought you these flowers and a hat full of eggs. What's up?
Marry me.
Married?
He's like completely just lost on the fact that the French word for yes is oui.
And then he does a very man thing. Are you sure? Yeah, no, I speak the language, but you ask me if it's right.
Oh, here we go. So we're talking about pocket holes in Paris.
A certain sort of theater.
No big deal, Anne. Just casually slip in this extremely lewd bit of information to this innocent little cinnamon roll who is hanging on your every word.
Well, I mean, it was a well-played move, let's admit. So, you guys, this looks like a great point to take a little break. We're going to get into the next segment, so you guys go grab a drink, do what you do, and then we'll be right back. If you're looking at the timer, we are at 28 minutes and 42 seconds, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thanks. All right, y'all, welcome back. We are going to start it back here at 28 minutes and 42 seconds.
Just in case you're just joining us, which is unlikely, but just in case, Ann Walker is just begging our Anne to tell her more about these mysterious pockets and interesting theaters in Paris.
I love that, like, Paris has long been known for lascivious acts and deeds. I mean, like, 200 years strong.
And how many movies or TV shows or books have been written about it? And shout out again, Saran Jones Hands. That was a super great jack-off gesture there. Well done. Again, super casual.
Yeah, of course it's true. It's Paris. That's why people go there. I love that line. Not me, obviously.
I just went there to study anatomy.
The anatomy of that big boobied blonde.
Yeah. I don't think that anybody was expecting that. If you guys haven't seen the video of viewers in the UK reacting to that scene, it is quality content.
All right, so here we are with the first time that she's even tried to, like, get into subtle seduction.
Have you ever kissed anyone? I mean, how would you respond if somebody asked you that?
Well, I mean,
I guess it's not really as possible now.
I've met people that have never kissed anyone, believe it or not.
That is so precious.
It is. It must be nice to have that much innocence. This moment, though, the way they capture this moment, the tension is absolutely perfect. Her lips quivering ever so slightly when she speaks back to her.
Miss Walker is so nervous.
The lean in of Lister. Oh, and her touching her lips.
I mean.
Surely you know what I mean.
The gentlest of touches. Somebody get a mop.
And then you're just going to tell her that she's in love with you. I mean, bold move. Let's see if it plays off, Cotton.
Bold move.
It does, though. She's like,
I have never had the nerve to tell anyone. I just think you're in love with me. And she said it with the most confidence.
Well, then she immediately backs off. I feel like she plays this
She was a player, 100%. Yeah. She wasn't ashamed. Yeah. She knew.
Yeah. Have I misread it? You're just trying to feel her out right now.
You're just trying to see if she big mad or if she is just taken off guard.
Yeah. When you read it with the club's caption, it's so great. Hopeful, tense music. And that's right. That's what it is.
And I mean, perfect descriptions, because I feel like the music adds so much to the show as well.
I like how she says, I have tender feelings for you.
That's code for I'm gay for you.
I'll be in 1,000 miseries until then. Her language is so good. I think her language is as seductive as she is.
I could never despise you, Anne, not for one second. How many times has a girl said that?
And here we are with some more meaningful handholding. There needs to be more meaningful handholding
in life. Yeah. When you really want someone to hear you, just take them by the hand.
It's true. It's true.
And if anyone's offended, just blame this show.
And you don't need to be frightened. Oh, and now she's like clutching the handkerchief and just thinking about Lister.
Just looking out the window.
She's lusting for Lister right now. Oh, that is a sweet scene, though. People used to do that. People used to give each other little tokens of their favor and hold on to them like that.
Yeah, except that's a token of favor with her dried blood on it.
You never been weird about a girl you like?
I have. I'm not excluding myself at all.
This Band-Aid was the band.
This was her Band-Aid.
This is her hair that she lost while she was playing rugby. We're all weird.
This is a Band-Aid from soccer camp in 1998.
All right, so here we go with some more. Lister walking, gay rushing while breaking the fourth wall, and generally being a badass.
I'm not saying that she could fall in love and marry any woman, but it is me that we're talking about. I can handle her.
Manageable, she calls her. Might we not be happy?
That smile, though. And Anne's no fool. She knows. She's like, all right, things are heating up. I got to go fill out Busybody Priestley and see what's going on with her. And my only thoughts through this whole entire scene are how difficult it must have been to keep that plate full of food gracefully steady on your knee.
And again, what are they eating? They look like little Jell-O balls. Plums, Jell-O balls.
Oranges.
Yeah. What is that?
Something that looks like cranberry sauce, but it's yellow.
English friends, write us in and tell us what this stuff is if you know. I'll eat that. That looks delicious.
It does look delicious. Kind of looks like an enlarged version of those juice balls that were in those Orbitz drinks from the 90s.
They do. That's exactly what they look like. You know what? Like, I am so glad that we're born in the time that we were, because if I had to get up and do that to myself every single day just to get seen by people, like, Miss Priestley is wearing a whole, like...
I would be a gutter rat.
That took an hour.
I'd be like, nah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
These appearances ain't worth it. Take my land, take my money. Yeah. I ain't doing this bullshit.
Mm-mm-mm. Just too much.
You better lick that thumb, girlfriend.
You think Sally...
You have got her played.
You think Sally Wainwright was just like, I need you to constantly be messing with your hands. I need you to lick your thumbs.
Just constantly.
It wasn't even part of the character. She just likes that. She just wants to see Saran do it.
Shout out to Argus one more time.
Yeah,
again, the real star of this show.
You're playing with fire. Good. She's so smooth.
And gradually, Marion's modest-ass woman print dress gradually gets brighter. So I'm going to call this one Autumn modest-ass woman print.
Uh-oh. Got to read her letters. Got to check out, you know.
Immediately pulled the diary out like, oh, bitch, I got something to tell you.
Uh-oh.
Bad news.
She recognizes the seal. Rip it open, girl. What's she say?
What is it? Mm. Looks like a wedding invitation to me.
To your ex-girlfriend's wedding.
I mean, that's pretty... I know that it was, you know, for manners and society's sake, but, like, that's cold.
You ain't never
that
been...
That is cold.
You've never been to an ex-girlfriend's wedding?
Absolutely not.
I gave the toast at one. And then I actually married another on Christmas Day to her partner now. I love them. They're both amazing.
That is a true...
If there's enough for a relationship, there should be enough for a friendship. If you didn't do anything horrible to each other...
Myths debunked, Jen. You never cease to amaze me, I swear.
No, man. Keep it kosher. That's what I like about her character, too. Like, she's very... Well, we don't see it yet. We're too foreshadowing. Too much foreshadowing.
Anyway, she go into a wedding. It was Vera Hobart's.
Mm-hmm. Her ex-girlfriend who done left her for Donald.
I mean, she don't want to go, but she big mad about it.
Mm-hmm. Donald Dick is what we'll call him. Anyways, okay, so here we see, tell me his
John
name.
Booth, most eligible bachelor, in my personal opinion.
With his beautiful daughters.
All these beautiful daughters, and they just giggle with him. I mean, he is so... good with them. Is that not like every breeder woman's dream to just find a man that could be this sweet and good with daughters?
He has a kind of a hobbit feel to me too.
Yeah, he belongs in the Shire.
He does. Here she's going. She's gay rushing. Where's she going? Gay rushing again, honey.
Into Halifax.
She's such a striking figure. I love the way she just moves.
Like, I mean,
Saran Jones is so feminine that I wonder, like, if they had to coach her into this or if she just gets into this character and she just isn't. I mean, look at her.
I think it was a great deal of method acting and fantastic writing.
Yeah. And these scenes.
And God-given talent.
Absolutely. And these scenes where she's jaunting in and walking to places. This is what's got butch women looking up top hats and canes on Amazon. Is it so smooth looking? It looks so good.
And commanding.
Oh.
And the confidence level.
Yeah. And right up in this dude's face. One of these my tenants lost a leg. All right. I got some issues.
She already knows it's his fault. Even though it hadn't been confirmed.
She is foreshadowing so hard.
I'm not. They've already said it. Anybody that lies that much is guilty.
That's just your own personal conjecture on this. But I do like, he's a piece of crap. We all know he's the worst. He's the bad guy. That's all you need to know.
He looks like he should have been the mayor in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
He looks like that kid from Recess, the one that was always ratting on everybody.
Oh, yeah. That was always with Miss Fenster. Yeah. That's exactly, that's him all grown up.
Yeah. The very few people are going to, most people are going to be like, what are they talking about? Anyways, I love the cravat. You know what I'm saying? The whole look, everything but the hair. I could lose the hair.
I mean, I like the bun. The bun is cool, but those curls stress me out. I just feel like that's a really tender area on my head.
Now, you're right. She's up in his face being like, oh, you seem to know a lot about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
Get a bucket.
Oh, Google.
And so she's also just testing him out to see how much he gives a shit about anybody, because she also mentions that Ann Walker was involved in the accident, and he proves that he really is a lowlife because he didn't give a shit about that either. All he cares about is keeping his hands clean. Game on. He's very intimidated by her.
How many bonnets are you packing, girl?
Seven. Like, how many days you gonna be there? I mean, I feel like my answer would be like, I got one ball cap. Is that good?
I have to say, even though I'm butch, I would be like, if bonnets were the thing, I'd be like, I brought 74 black bonnets. This one is satin black. This one is matte black. This one is black stripes. I love my black bonnets.
This one's blue black.
They're all different.
Purple black.
I like to dress, honey. If I'm a dress, I'm a dress.
And if you dress, you know there are many shades of black.
And she just cannot stop thinking about Ann Lister. She is so all up in her head about her, even while her stupid in the company of other women. Now they're gossiping about.
And Ann Walker's like, she's already so into it that she is mad that anybody has even thought a negative thought about her baby. How dare they? They don't know her like she does.
Yeah. What do you mean she can't be trusted away on women? Well, that's true, though.
I mean, big facts.
I mean, it depends on what your definition of the word trusted is. I mean, does she, like, kidnap them? Does she steal them away? No, but she might eat them.
She might let a digit slip.
She did ask if she bites, so that's why I said she might eat them.
I hope so. That would have been a much better response.
Because she's unusual and single and clever. I love the use of the word clever for intelligence in this show.
And they use another thing that they do so well is that rather than comment a lot on physical beauty, they use so many other adjectives to denote a woman's worth.
And, you know, I wonder if that's a Wayne Wright liberty or... But I like it. I love it a lot.
Me too.
It's one of my... come on. It's why everybody's obsessed with the show. The writing, everything about it.
It was just the perfect storm.
Don't be absurd. She's never tried to touch me.
Tense orchestral music.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she did rub her thumb across my lip that one time, and it did make me feel very good down below. But she's never tried to touch me. Don't be absurd, you crazy bitch.
She's never done anything inappropriate.
Yet.
Not yet, at least.
I know. And immediately, let's change the subject.
But she is steady thinking about it. Oh, now rousing. We got rousing orchestral music.
She was roused. All right. Now we got the little wimpy brother waiting on her. Always empowerment. Look, this is ultra hyped, modest bitch. That dress is like at a 10.
Oh, absolutely.
They keep amping her up in their plaid picnic basket patterns.
That one's definitely picnic basket modest ass woman print. I'm gonna have a special name for every modest ass woman print Marion has as a dress.
And sometimes I just feel like she like wants an audience to her brilliance. She's like, no, you guys watch this. Sit here. Don't say anything.
I think she absolutely does. And I think her family knows that too, which is why her father is sitting there looking at this conversation happening with a smirk on his face. Knowing.
Yeah, they both just gave each other a look like, oh, this bitch, here she goes.
Here she goes. You, sir, are about to get 7 levels of tore up. I just love all the scenes of her without her greatcoat on, with just her shirt sleeves. Those shirt sleeves.
And she's doing this thing that I feel like every woman I've ever dated in my entire life does. She's all the facts before you've even thought about what she's about to say. And if you could just think a little bit quicker than her, you might get ahead. But
just
you can't.
A hair.
I can't. I never can. I'm always just like, $206.07. Okay, just give my wallet.
She is ahead of the curve.
Always. She always knows.
Always. She has thought out every route and every possible response or reaction from her counterpart.
And I love how she gets on the hay pennies. She's like, I'm going to need my 17 shillings and my like six little hay pennies, okay? I don't know how much
don't
a hay penny
is. Don't forget those.
Yeah.
I am not running a charity.
No. The getter and the proprietor. I wish I could say that to people. You are the getter
and
I am
the proprietor.
And sixpence.
She's just so knowledgeable. I mean, it's just all the facts at one time. And this poor guy is, he won't say it, but what's happening in between his ears right now is, oh my God, I am getting whipped.
And once again, she's used her sister as a prop. Was that right, ma'am? Yes. I'll answer for you. This is what you were going to say.
She's like, I don't let you talk much, but I know you can back up the facts. It's like Marion is her hype man right now.
But
like,
she doesn't
yeah,
get to talk.
Yeah, what she said.
Mm. And then now he's nervous because if she sinks her pits, then he's screwed.
Because he doesn't know that she already knows that they're stealing her coals.
Mm-mm-mm. And she always does this to men, too. I told you. I said what I said.
I said what I said.
And now we are done. I said good day.
And ring the bell. Raise your hand if this show makes you want a bell so that you can dismiss people from your presence with a living human being.
Was there anything else? Did you need something else? No, I guess not.
Beat music. You lucky I didn't ring this bell one more time. TikTok, bitch.
And her sister's just like, well, I guess she made you look like a jerk.
This fellow's gone to see his brother, and he's like, damn it, I need a drink and a smoke. That woman rattled me down to my core. Ah, the sweet taste of fragile male egos in the morning.
I used to know her socially. Did you?
Do tell.
Some more conjecture, blah, blah, poor relations.
Nobody gives a shit what you think, guy. You've already shown us that you are crap.
But it does let us know her background a little bit. So her aunt and uncle pretty much adopted her when she was 15, 16. She came to live with them because she, quote fingers, couldn't cope, which I imagine people couldn't cope with her being herself. More than she couldn't cope with. She seems to be able to cope with everything.
And it's been historically quoted that she was considered a, quote, unmanageable tomboy, unquote, by her parents, which is why she was sent to boarding school at a very early age, like 7.
I mean, would that my parents had the money to send me to an all-girls boarding. Are you kidding me? What a gift. What a present that would have been for my life.
I mean, no doubt, because even in today's present world, I think that we all know what happens at all-girls boarding schools.
I would have gotten in trouble. For sure.
You know what? I know a couple of people that are of the same lifestyle as us that had a great time at all girls boarding school. Ladies, if
or
you're listening, you
colleges.
Know who you are.
So once again, here they are, intimate times, talking about, which I really like. I like how she's talking to Anne about her work. You know, she makes it all about her a good bit.
I love that little pull in and then immediate pull away. Like, she can't be bothered. And just the way that they're sitting right now. Anne Walker is on her floor with Ann Lister in the chair.
And here's the first gift, the little first token of her love.
It's not as useful as a paper knife, but, I mean, honey, like, she doesn't know that every woman would rather have something shiny than a paper knife.
Yeah. We're all raccoons at heart. We all want something shiny to rub between our paws.
Don't we all?
We do. We all do.
It's our natural instinct. Mm-hmm.
That's shiny. I'm going to take that back to the place where I keep shiny things. And she takes it from her immediately. And
I'll think of you always.
Mm-hmm. Once again, with those hands, showing how nimble and adept they are.
They really are. I mean, I just wonder if Saran Jones does some sort of like hand exercises, or like, is there something that the general public can do to get Saran Jones' hands?
This moment is so perfect where they tell each other they'll miss each other and they're so close to kissing. The tension is like palpable.
I mean, you could cut it with a knife and you can feel it through the screen like it's happening to you.
What are you going to be doing? I got to go to my ex-girlfriend's wedding in London. Bitches will talk if I don't go, so.
Just in case this doesn't work out with you, I got to keep up appearances with all these other women that I know.
It's complicated. Ain't it always, Anne?
Hashtag, it's complicated.
And I love how Anne takes this moment to kind of encourage Lister, you know what I mean? To kind of give her back what she's given her.
And that's another one of the best things about their relationship is that even though Anne Lister is such a stronger personality and has stronger confidence than Anne Walker, they do provide each other what I feel to be a very important balance in real love, in a real relationship. You've got to be stronger in the areas that they are weak and vice versa, and you've got to provide that balance to each other.
And they almost kiss, and then they're interrupted by the damn cousin.
And James, most loyal footman ever. You know he knows all their little conversations and all their little giggles, and he's just like, mind your business, mind your business, mind your business.
And I don't know, why does she shoulder check her?
Because she knows that she had talked shit about her to Anne Walker. Gotcha. She told her. And so she's like,
watch this.
Oh, you want to play Mean Girls? I'm Regina George, bitch.
What's this guy's name? Mr. Hinscliff.
Mr. Hinscliff. And he's the second interested party in buying the coal mines.
And I like how, what's the other guy's name?
Mr. Washington.
Yeah, he's like her muscle in this. Like,
he really is. And he lets her say all of the important information, and he just sort of adds the managerial day-to-day questions to it. It's very CEO and COO.
And she always calls men on her bullshit. Would you make that face to a man? So don't do it to me. 6 pence. 17 shillings and 6 pence. You need to get my 6 pence.
Again, don't forget that. That 6 pence is going to go toward a new diary. I'm on a budget. And she really was on a budget in real life, so that 6 pence probably was really important.
I mean, business is business, and that's kind of her whole manner of operating.
And here's human number 3 to tell her that the Rawsons are stealing her coal.
And once again, you heard the bell. It's been rung.
Goodbye.
Away with you.
Thank you. You gave me all the information I needed.
Why is he always putting his clothes on? Why do you always have naked footwear?
He's always adjusting his clothing, and he's always got some food in his mouth. But he is John Booth's brother, so.
We'll forgive him.
We'll let it slide. He's just a boy. And now she's like, you know what? I've had it with all these men. I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to take care of my own coal.
Muffled horse hooves. All right, she's off.
Off to the races, so to speak.
We're going to London, bitch.
She has a new resolve. Her business dealings have her feeling super powerful and She's ready to go to this damn wedding.
Mm-hmm. She done gave her baby a little gift. You know, she's feeling good. Got to check in with the auntie.
Aunt Anne. Most precious.
So many people name Anne on this show, though.
I mean, it was a pretty prominent name. I mean, it still kind of is, but I mean, imagine back then, like in England especially, I mean.
Anne in this show is like lesbian Jennifers in America.
You are so right.
Dude, there are 30 lesbian Jennifers in our small hometown alone. That's a lot of lesbian Jennifers.
And honestly, I don't even think that that's a liberal estimate. I think that might be spot on.
No, I sat down one day. Like,
oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you do like an L word
to figure out
all the Jennifers?
Because it's my name and I kept meeting so many and I was like, let me just do the math. Because and there were so many that I had a few that were like, oh, your name is Jennifer, but you go by Mary or you go by, you know what I'm saying? Like there was several.
There are
that I was
so
like,
many
oh.
people in this town named Jennifer that they all go by a name that isn't theirs.
It's ridiculous. And I love it. She's just wearing black to a wedding, honey. I only wear black. That's like, that's my whole aesthetic. Like I have a few things that are blue. Maybe red, not even.
I just recently this year started buying things with a little color, but I would say that 85% of my wardrobe is solid black. So I feel you on that, and Jen and I feel you.
Yeah, only wear black, only wear black.
And I mean, look at this hat. I mean,
they did a wedding, right, though, because the dude in the Scottish outfit, he looks good. I mean,
oh, yeah, I mean, all that. He looks very all that Scottish military stuff is on point.
Yeah, I'm not mad.
Ain't nobody can be mad about that.
Yep.
Poor Anne, like, she just doesn't want to look at her because she imagined that for them, and she is completely heartbroken.
Yeah.
Tears welling up in her eyes, and it's so impactful to see her when she gets emotional. Because it's so rare, but boy, when she does it.
Her hat looks like she's a band leader.
Yeah, like a big band conductor.
Yeah. Buck up. Don't cry.
She'd be really good at that. I think that would have been a good job for her.
Saran Jones, she's so talented. She plays that moment perfectly. She plays it exactly how you would. Stoic, little tears in your eyes. Keeping it together.
Trying really hard not to act out, really hard. I cannot, the level of exhaustion after trying that hard to not lose your shit is unscathed.
Well done.
Eye roll.
loathing look.
Yep, she's like, okay, I'm over myself and over this now.
Yep.
I had 25 seconds of a choke up, and now we're over it.
So much feathers. If one of those candles, like, slightly goes askew.
Can you imagine how hot it was up in that church with all those bodies by side?
It must have smelled like a zoo.
Yeah, unless they had, like, some scented oil or something burning in the church. Like, they sprinkled some rose water in the holy water or something. I don't know.
Here you are in the reception line at the fancy wedding.
Hands down, the most uncomfortable part of any wedding ever to this day is everybody having to walk through and say something to the bride and groom.
They don't even give the groom hardly any attention. Like, they show him briefly for 1 second, and that's it. He's not important.
They like, nah.
Nah. And let me just get in here and have a private word with you, okay? I just want to let you know you look beautiful.
And she's like, oh, my God. It's just so fantastic that you're here and you're wearing all black.
I like this scene. I like the back and forth that they do about her husband not being a charmless buffoon. Like the way it's written so perfectly. And they do that same at the same time. No.
And it's so back and forth that you know that she really thinks that he's a charmless buffoon in comparison to her as well.
I like that she's just so gutsy. She's just going to get right up in her face and have this moment in her reception line at her wedding.
Again, super casual, Ann Lister. Always so casual. And what a big person to say, I wish you all the happiness.
She's right, though. Our time on Earth is brief, and we should do it with it, everything we can. And if you want to do this, then do it.
I mean, she is absolutely right. But as we all know, usually the right thing is always the hardest. And showing up with that kind of class and support was hard.
I've had a couple women leave me to get married and have babies, so I get it. Just want different things. It's okay.
She got this girl crying in her reception line at her own wedding. Like, she might have just wished you well, but she got the best of you.
It was really hurtful when she said, I'm just not like that. I'm like, oh, ow. Like what?
To which I say, well.
Yeah, right.
But they had a very, historically, they kind of had a complicated, not quite super so sexual relationship. So I understand why they had her say that in the show, just to kind of stay true to the situation. But
running back to the house, girl.
I took care of business. Now I'm going to go see my boo.
Take my hat. Take my gloves, bitch.
What kind of precision aim is that? I feel like if I tried to throw that many things that quickly at somebody, one would have hit them in the face and the other one would have went across the room and broken a mirror.
She's like, we're going to the Lake District. I got to see my girl.
Here we go. Oh, I got lots of hope. I'm going to look straight at the camera so that you know that I know that everything's going to be all right.
All right, so end of episode 2, I went to study anatomy. Great episode, you guys. I enjoyed it so much. So really quickly, we want to do our Gentleman Jack nominee for this week. We haven't had anybody write in for with a story yet, so we really, 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 really want to encourage you guys to do that. But I went ahead and picked somebody, and I ran it by Kristen, and she agreed. Our Gentleman Jack pick for this episode is Kristen's partner, Pearl, who actually encouraged us a lot to do this podcast. She helped us get the studio ready, which in the Pearl Cave here. We refer to it as Studio A, affectionately. She's a social worker. She helps people in her life. That's what she chose to do for her entire life, is to help other people and to be there for other people and to make a positive impact in the world. She's one of my favorite people. We've been friends for years. And she's just one of those people who is a strong personality and puts back into the world. And that's why she's our Gentleman Jack for this episode.
She's my Gentleman Jack every day of the week. I know that sounds super corny, but it's super true.
They have a beautiful love. It's disgusting, you guys. No, but it's amazing. They're two of my best friends in the world. And so our nominee is Pearl, Kristen's partner. So you guys send us in a Gentleman Jack nominee. All we're going to do is say good things about you and send you a little certificate that says you're awesome.
We just want to recognize people that are looked up to and admired in their lives, like Ann Lister was. So yes, please write in. And, before we head out, we do just want to, do a quick little shout out to the Facebook group that we're a part of. It's Gentleman Jack Fans, HBO and BBC One show in parentheses. It has over 6,200 people in it. And I just cannot imagine how much work goes into moderating all of the posts with that many members. So shout out to the admins of that group. Shout out to all of our Lister sisters on that group. You guys are the ones that really inspired us to do this podcast. And we hope that you'll keep listening. And we'll be back next week for episode 3. Oh, is that what you call it?
All right, you guys. Thanks again, Lister sisters and Lister listeners.